At 5:07 a.m. this morning, the remarkable and historic life of Clarence M. Mitchell III made the transition to the ancestors. And I use that terminology because my father and my family taught all of us that this physical presence was only the beginning of a journey. And so while we do mourn, and I mourn the loss of my father today, I also celebrate the great life that he lived. I celebrate the historic life that he presented to all of us who are beneficiaries of the public policy initiatives and the other ways he impacted us as a family as well. I felt compelled to come in here today and share with you on my show, with you, just my thoughts about my father, because in a moment like this, when you are dealing with tragedy and you are a public person and you also have a father who is a public person, it's very difficult to grieve in some form of obscurity. Everything is in the public domain, and that's the price of being a public person. It's well understood that that's what happens. But I wanted to come in here today and just share with you the life of this man that was my father and that is my father wherever his presence is at the moment. Look, my father was a human being. He wasn't a deity. He wasn't a god. But he also was not. The difference that he made in his existence was truly individual. At the age of 13, maybe it was 12, 13, he went to the White House with my grandfather, Clarence Mitchell Jr., who was then the chief lobbyist for the Washington Bureau of the NAACP and very well known in Washington, went to the White House to see Harry Truman. Imagine a colored, at that point, weren't African Americans then, a colored, going to the White House to meet the President of the United States as part of a group of young people. And my father was born 4 years after, in 1939, 4 years after the last lynching in this state. So you have to understand the climate that he was born in to understand the reality that made him a freedom fighter, as he would call himself and others who participated with him would. He became a part of a movement that was long before Brown versus Board of Education, long before the whole sit-in movement down in the South. Maryland had its own form of racism. Maryland had its own form of segregation. And so my family birthed him, birthed his reality into all of that. And he, in turn, with my sister, myself, and our children, his grandchildren, he instilled in all of us that reality of wanting to do something for someone else, of wanting to make a difference to improve the lives of someone else. And so my father, at the age of 20, went down South to join in Dr. King's Freedom Army. He wanted to be a part of the whole movement at that time. He was a student at Morgan State University. My grandparents were not too pleased that he dropped out of college to go down and do that. But when he got there, he and a group of other young people, including a very young Julian Bond, a young Marion Barry, a young Reverend Wyatt T. Walker, and all these young people decided they didn't want to be a part of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, SCLC, Dr. King's movement. They didn't want to be with those older folks. They wanted their own organization. So they started SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. And my father was the first treasurer for SNCC. And that involvement and being down South and witnessing that, even though Maryland had its own form of discrimination, it was so much more overt down in the South, made him want to come back home and make a difference. That same 20-year-old, as he turned 21 then, went to the White House again with my grandfather to meet a very young President John F. Kennedy. And when he met President Kennedy, he was telling him about what was happening in the South, along with some other young people there as well, about what was happening in the South. And President Kennedy said to all those young people, if you want to make a difference, run for public office. And after hearing that, my father transitioned his civil rights activist mode into elected office, being elected at the age of 22.